Good morning, Vista. Good morning.
It is so awesome
to see you. You look good. You know what? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you look good.
You look real
good.
Yeah. Some of them hesitated.
I saw that. We're just not going to point those out.
Like,
though.
Oh, you look moderately good.
You look good. So good to see you this morning. And hey, look who is back with us from Africa.
Yes, thank you. It's great to be back. I want to thank the team, John Peck and Takasha Smith and Eric and Landon Biddle. Went with me to visit our partners in Africa. They're doing well. The Wakesa family in particular sends their love and affection and gratitude to you. They're growing up super fast. Those kids who age from 15 up to almost 30. It's crazy. But we were with them every day and traveled around and did some wonderful things. And we'll tell you all about it on Labor Day, I think, is the day we've got mapped out to tell you about that ministry and that trip. So thank you for your support. It means the world to them, meant the world to us. So, yeah.
And it's appropriate that Mike is back from Africa, and this is his first Sunday talking about relationships, because I'm convinced that's probably where his favorite relationships in the world are, in Africa. Isn't that right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if, yeah. There are some key relationships. I don't know if they're favorite, but I can understand why you might think that, because there are some that are very, very special to me and long-lasting, and there are parts of me that are ministered to and come alive in that culture, in that context, and so there are some very special, for sure, relationships.
And we've been doing this relationship series for too long. So long.
Yeah.
But the reason we do it is because we've got to be prepared for what's real about relationships. We want to understand the relationships we have are on a broken planet with broken people.
Yeah.
And that if we can be prepared for that, then it helps us so much to have the right perspective, to have the right lens through which to see what's going on even in our relationships.
Yeah, you just have to anticipate humanity in relationships. Nobody's perfect, you know? And it helps just to be notified in advance or to be ready. I remember the first time, some of you have heard me tell this story, it's one of my favorite memories. One of the first times I put our youngest son into a bounce house. You know, I'm talking about those blow up bounce house things. He was probably 7 or 8. And I said, listen, buddy, it's gonna be a blast, but you're gonna be flying around in there and you're probably gonna conk some heads and you're gonna be bumping into other people. That's what happens in there. He goes, all right. So he jumps in there and bouncing around for a while and then makes his way back over to the door. And in my mind, there was a trickle of blood somewhere. Like, I don't know if that's true or just characterized, but he said, hey, I said, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine. But there's a boy in the corner inside crying. And I said, is he okay? He said, no, he's fine. He's just afraid. I don't think his dad told him what was going on in here. It changed everything. You're cowering in the corner if you don't know what's coming. And that's what happens in relationships. If we don't anticipate what's coming,
right,
we get bloodied, we bang into one another, and we're frustrated and afraid rather than, oh, this is what I should expect is happening. This is what happens to our relationship when we prepare for the relationship series.
It's a mess.
We're very Christ-like in our relationship, in the relationship. We die so that you might live.
I mean, we keep thinking, when is the year when we come into the relationship series
Not yet. No,
okay.
No. We'll be okay. Don't worry.
We'll be okay. So I have some questions to start us off today. How many of us know hands are necessary, by the way? How many of us have had a judgmental or kind of unkind thought about someone in the past 24 hours? How many of us have gotten irritated with another child of God this very morning? How many of us have shaded the truth, kind of exaggerated to make ourselves look better? How many of us have avoided a conversation we need to have? How many of us have lusted over someone physically or lusted over someone's possessions or person somehow recently? How many of us in general are in our own heads, worried about ourselves, what we're going to eat, how we're being treated fairly, if we're being included or not, if we're going to get what we feel we deserve? Maybe the question that's on your mind is, why is Tammy beginning a supposedly fun little series with such uncomfortable and annoying questions? Here's why. Because it leads us, these kinds of questions lead us to the most grounding, fulfilling, life-giving reality ever. A reality that will fuel every relationship in right directions if we let it. It's this, that if you've cried out to Christ for his sacrificial forgiveness, it is yours. Completely and totally. It's incredible and honestly, in some ways, too much for our finite minds to comprehend, really. But because of what Jesus did, we can walk in freedom of complete forgiveness every single day of our lives. Psalm 103, verse 3 says he forgave us all our sins. Colossians 2:13 says, when you were dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, he made you alive together with Christ. He forgave us, here it is again, all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. I feel like we should be cheering louder than I've ever seen you cheer at any OSU game. Do you know what I'm saying? This is real. This is real life. This is our life.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us something even further. In that incredible life exchange, we are actually given the righteousness of Christ. It said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's stunning. And yet if you've heard it, maybe you're like used to it. It's like, can we never be used to the amazingness of grace and the stunning nature of the gospel? So where we're starting today, and hopefully every day, and certainly, hopefully every relationship and relationship series, is that forgiveness is the very lifeblood of our existence. Amen? Jesus' sacrifice and ensuing resurrection provides what we need by way of overcoming our inherent sinful. So if you have a hard time with that inherent sinful, if you're not used to it, just think about how self-centered you are, how self-concerned you are at every turn, okay? His way of overcoming our inherent sinful, self-centered nature is meant to be our roadmap for navigating this broken planet, and it's especially supposed to be our focus and our fuel in relationships. Forgiveness. So think about this with me, if you will. How many of you have like read a good book recently, watched a good movie, ate at a good restaurant, had a great trip somewhere, and you couldn't wait to do what about it? You couldn't wait to tell your closest friends. You're like, oh, this thing, you have to experience it, right? We will even buy the thing for them. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've done a purchase where I've been like, one for me, one for you, because I'm so excited about it and I want to share it. It's what we do. We will send people the links to this is the destination, or here's the trailer for the movie, or here's the efficacy of the product, right? We do that, right? When we love something. So how much more the complete and utter forgiveness of God. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it wonderful? We just sang it. Isn't it the best thing, honestly, that's ever happened to you? Do you stop and think regularly, who would I be without Jesus? Sorry, I just thought about who I'd be without Jesus. This relates directly to our relationships. Are you so excited for the gift you've been given, the joy that you've discovered, the freedom that sets you free? Are you so excited about that that you can't wait to give it away? So forgiveness is a gift that we've been given, and it's meant to be shared.
I do think we forget about it, right? We forget, or we think it's something that happened once, our overall forgiveness. We tend not to travel. We don't want to travel with an awareness of our sinful nature, our selfish, self-absorbed hearts. We don't want to be thinking of that. But if we're not aware of that, we can't possibly be aware of the joy of forgiveness every day in our life. It's humbling.
And so we're meant to live seeing and beholding every person in our lives through that lens, the lens that is only given us through forgiveness in Christ. I mean, in relationship series past, some of you remember, we've given pairs of glasses to be like, we have to see through essentially the life of Christ. And we talked about that in terms of Philippians 2, 1 through 12. For those of you taking notes, if you want to know how can I be more Christ-like in my relationship, read, memorize, commit to your heart, Philippians 2, 1 through 12. But for instance, verses 3 through 7 in Philippians 2 say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Here it is. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Forgiveness himself, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. This all might seem hard when you hear it, to realize that if you've said yes to Jesus, this capability lives within you now. It's the Christ life within you. Forgiveness himself resides within you. So, the greatest and most amazing calling in our lives, relationally speaking, is to do what Colossians 3:13 directs. And maybe we can look at it on the screen. And if you're willing, can we say it together? Do you mind reading this with me? Here it is. Let's go. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I think the word as is critical.
Yeah.
What comes to mind when you think of as? Just like he did, in the same way of. That is what will transform our lives. This sentiment is also echoed in Ephesians 4:32, which says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It's everywhere in the scriptures. Jesus talked about the importance of forgiving regularly. It's critical to us. He said, and when you stand praying, like we just have been, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. It's clear. Mm-hmm. It's our utmost call. And it's not just that it honors the Lord when we forgive. As usual, friends, what is good for him and his kingdom is good for us. It's best for us. The benefits of forgiveness are massive to us. Even secular researchers have discovered that the benefits of forgiveness are literally life-altering. Follow with me. The Mayo Clinic says the benefits of forgiveness are healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, fewer symptoms of depression, lower blood pressure, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, and improved self-esteem. Constantly, research has shown that forgiveness is linked to fewer physical health symptoms, such as hypertension and heart health, has been said. It's related to lower mortality rates, as well as mental health outcomes, such as reduced anxiety, major psychiatric disorders, and depression. Even more specifically, there's an article from Johns Hopkins University entitled, Forgiveness, Your Health Depends on It. And it shows that studies have found the act of forgiveness reaps huge rewards for your health, including, again, here we go, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels, improving sleep, reducing pain, reducing blood pressure and levels of anxiety, reducing levels of depression, reducing levels of stress. I hope you're taking this in. As a side note for some of us in this room, research points to an increase in the forgiveness and health connection as you age.
Meaning you need to forgive more the older you get?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, that makes sense.
Dr. Karen Swartz of Johns Hopkins says, there is an enormous physical burden to being hurt and disappointed. Folks, this is because chronic anger puts you into a fight or flight mode, which results in numerous changes in heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. Those changes then increase the risk of depression, heart disease, and diabetes, among other things. It's been shown that people who hang on to grudges are more likely to experience severe depression and post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as other health conditions. Folks, as the Bible's told us all along, research is supporting the fact that your unforgiveness is killing you. Can I get an amen from the healthcare professionals in this room? You know it. But that doesn't mean, studies also say, that people can't train themselves to act in healthier ways. In fact, 62% of American adults say they need more forgiveness in their lives, according to a survey by the Fetzer Institute. Forgiveness indeed calms stress levels, leading to improved health. So, in addition to the physical, bodily downsides of holding on to negative thoughts and feelings about a person, what else does it do? I know you know. Lack of forgiveness lies behind the breakdown of many relationships. Unforgiveness breaks relationships, be they between neighbors, colleagues, family members, friends, spouses, and much more. And not only does it affect our personal bodies and affect our relationships, it affects the larger body we are supposed to be. Obviously, unforgiveness, holding grudges, taking offense lies at the very core of the demise of cooperation and community. That devolves into what? Divided countries and civilizations. I feel like we're there. Could we be a more divided country right now? Right?
I totally agree.
You had a thought you were going to say about...
I don't know. I thought you covered that well. Like, forgiveness is at the root of the divisions that we experience.
I think what you said to me when we were talking about it was, could we be a more unforgiving country right now?
Yeah. Cancel culture itself is just a lack of forgiveness. It's one of the most dominant things. It's like these quick judgments to dismiss, separate, cast aside. You know, it is a lack of forgiveness. The culture is losing touch with what the Bible says is one of the most critical mm-hmm. transactions among humans.
Yep. Unforgiveness generates resentment, which I think is actually just a lighter disguised form of unforgiveness. Oh, no, I'm not unforgiving. I'm just a little resentful. That's all. And when resentment builds, what happens? It chokes effective communication because it's kind of in your way. And it makes us stop assuming the best, which is critical to healthy relationships. And it stains every other sort of statement the person makes until you can't stand being in the same room, let alone the same marriage or the same family. Amen? Unforgiveness and then the resentment that it generates takes away from your well-being, joy, and peace, friends. The very things Jesus purchased for us and that his forgiveness secures for us. One of the most debilitating effects of this state of unforgiveness into resentment is bitterness. I don't even have to describe it to you, do I? Because we all know people who are like, no, I'm fine, but they're seething. And you can feel it. They're seething with bitterness. Amen? Bitterness, I'm going to be honest, as a counselor for over 30 years, in my anecdotal experience, bitterness is the only non-organic mental state I have seen kill someone.
What's a non-organic mental state?
Oh, my word. Non-biological.
Oh.
Like organic depression, suicidality.
Non-organic meaning, okay, not from within?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
That's all right,
you're good. I'm sure everybody else got it.
We are not meant as human beings, we're not created to dam up unforgiveness. We are supposed to be a vessel of love and light. The flow of God's love and forgiveness within us is meant to flow out. Have you heard John 7:38 through these lens? Listen to it. It's beautiful. It's you. It says, whoever believes in me, as scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Do you hear it? Mm-hmm. That's who you're meant to be. Unforgiveness is like damming up that flow. And you tell me what happens to any standing water. Mm-hmm. What happens?
Spoils.
Becomes toxic, becomes, right, poisonous.
Yeah.
That is what bitterness does. It's a bit of fulfilling 1 John 1:6, 1 John 1:6 says this, if we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. If we claim to have fellowship with him, if we claim to have Christ within us and yet walk in darkness and yet hold unforgiveness, we're not living the Christian life. Can you follow that? Nelson Mandela said it this way, having resentment against someone is like drinking poison and thinking it will kill your enemy. So to forgive others, we must constantly have before us, on our minds, and in our hearts what God has done for us. If we don't, bitterness is going to grow. And as we're seeing, that's a major soul and body killer. So our job, our calling, our privilege is that instead of holding on to offense and stifling Christ's life within you, to offer forgiveness regularly. And that reminds me of the illustration that I love so much you can do.
The snorkel one?
Yes. Yeah.
So in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6-ish, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And then after that, he says, because, or something along those lines, so that if you forgive, then God will forgive you. I'm paraphrasing. If you forgive, then God will forgive you. If you don't forgive, then God won't forgive you, which sounds like that's a little too much power. We would really not. But you have to remember that it's not the Western mind that conceived that thought. It's an Eastern mind. It's different than sort of the linear way that we tend to look at things. What Jesus is trying to get across there is that forgiveness is it's not just a transaction. It's a cycle. It's something that is it's like breathing. So we've always liked to imagine, if you've ever been snorkeling or any of that sort of thing and you're swimming beneath the water, you've got this passage for oxygen to get into your lungs. You must have oxygen. You must get it into your lungs. But there's only one way to get oxygen into your lungs, and it is first to get what's in your lungs out of your lungs. It has to be a two-way thing. It's not just breathing in. Mm-hmm. It's not just breathing out. It is a all-encompassing process, in, out, in, out. This is another way Jesus is saying this is central to humanity. It's like breathing. You forgive, God forgives, God forgives, you forgive, you don't forgive, you don't receive the forgiveness of God. It is a cycle God has put us in the midst of as his creation, as humanity, together with him as a body. In, out, yep. In, out. You're not aware of the forgivenesses that need to be expressed, you're going to be stuck in so many, so many ways and be distant from God. It's in and it's out and it's in and it's out.
It reminds me of a book that before we got married, we read a few premarital books, and I'll never forget one of them, which is now out of print. Yeah. The entire premise was, if you are not willing to forgive daily, your marriage will not make it.
which essentially means, like, are you committing major sins and issues with your spouse or honestly any relationship that you're in every day? No. But if our hearts are as bad as God says it, if our thoughts trail off as often as they do, it means that there is no infraction too small.
Right.
To be overlooked and apologized for and forgiven. None. We tend to have a line where we think, okay, if it doesn't elevate to this degree, then I'm not going to humble myself and apologize. I'm not going to humble myself and forgive. But the story is, we must be aware of these small things, these infractions, and live right with others in them, or they're going to build up and they're going to stack up. And you're going to eventually be bitter, and you're not even going to know why.
So obviously, what God's calling us to is a lifestyle of forgiveness.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Is a lifestyle of forgiveness. Why? Well, number one, because it honors what Christ has done for us. John 7:47 is so fascinating. It's about Jesus encountering a woman, and he says, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Do you hear that? He who has been forgiven little forgives little, and he who has been forgiven much forgives much. That's the biblical principle. So, do you hear what it's saying? But a person who has been forgiven little shows only little love. There's something about getting up close to our own sins and failings that puts us in a better position to experience God's forgiveness and love, right? And that once we understand how much we've been forgiven for, it makes it so much easier to forgive others and extend God's love towards them. Your love of and willingness to forgive others is evidence that you know you've been forgiven. The second aspect of a lifestyle of forgiveness is that it benefits us, as we've seen, physically and emotionally. Write this down if you're taking notes. Proverbs 19:11. I love this verse and kind of hate it. Kind of have this ambivalent relationship with this scriptural truth. It says this: "It is to a person's glory to overlook an offense." I mean, when's the last time somebody's been hurt your feelings or been even overtly rude to you? And it's fine. Totally fine. Yeah. Right? But we can see it is to your glory in terms of your health, right? In terms of your best life, to overlook an offense. And I just want to say, Vista, people who I love and are actually my family, you are too important to the kingdom of God to carry around offense in your heart. You are on mission. You are pushing back the forces of darkness at such a critical time. You want to get in the way of that? Just hold on to grudges. Be easily offended. Mm. You're too important and too beautiful, by the way, and stunning to walk around with an offended heart. Yeah. Number three reason, aspect of living a lifestyle of forgiveness is that it is our gratitude offering to God for his forgiveness of us. If you're ever like, "God, what can I do for you?" He's like, "Just do what I've done with you to others." That's how you can say thank you to me, right? R.T. Kendall, he had this quote. He said, "Making a choice to continue in unforgiveness shows that we aren't sufficiently grateful for God's forgiveness of our own sins." And I wanted to mention R.T. Kendall. Amy and Joe Proctor showed us this book last summer, and it was transformative for them. And so I was like, I got to get this book. It's called Total Forgiveness. So if God has you in a place where it's like, I need to learn more about that, this book just does it ad nauseum in awesome ways. R.T. Kendall, Total Forgiveness. So, how you doing? We've already now looked significantly at the whys, why forgive. Let's spend a minute looking at the what's of it. What is forgiveness? What forgiveness isn't? What it is? Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So what forgiveness isn't? Friends, forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. That's a joke. Forgive and forget is a lie. You can't. That's because wounding hurts us in some way and ultimately changes us in some way.
Yeah.
Right? I can know that I no longer am angry at the person who caused a scar in my arm, but I have a scar on my arm. I'm changed somehow.
Yeah.
It is not forgetting. Here's another. Forgiveness is not justifying, approving, or excusing what someone did. If that's what you think it is, then be excited this morning to hear that you can forgive, and it does not mean that it's condoning, saying it's okay, dismissing the pain of, minimizing in any way what another person has done.
When as she's going through this list of what forgiveness isn't, think of it as two ways. Number one, what forgiveness isn't, but also think about how these things keep you from forgiveness.
Yeah.
Right? That one's a good example. If you're thinking it's your responsibility to make sure that this goes, punished or not approved, then you won't offer your forgiveness. But that's not what forgiveness is about. So it's just good to think about this through the grid of how these things aren't only a definition of what it isn't, but what keeps me from forgiving.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Here's another.
So repeat the first two, because I'm sorry I interrupted you. You say them real quick.
You're good. Forgiveness isn't the same as forgetting.
Right.
Forgiveness isn't the same as justifying, approving, or excusing what someone did.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Forgiveness is also pretending we aren't hurt. Excuse me. Forgiveness is not pretending we are not hurt. Did I say that right? You with me? Kind of double negative-y. I lost my own brain there for a second. Okay? That's not what it involves. Listen, if you haven't picked up on it by your own spirit or just by the scriptures, forgiveness isn't easy. If you've been in some sort of teaching where it's like, all right, so we're just going to have a forgiveness day. It's little rainbows, a little sunshine. That teaching, because it doesn't align with Colossians 3:13 that says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. It was painful. It was unjust. It was wrong. It hurt him. It killed him. He allowed himself to be killed. So if you feel like forgiveness might kill you, you might be on the right track.
It's going to at least cost you.
It hurts when we kiss revenge goodbye. It hurts to think a person might maybe feel like they're getting away with it and think that no one else will find out. It is not ours to hold vengeance and enact revenge. Can I read Romans 12 to you? 17 through 19, it says, do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. It isn't fair, it isn't justice, it's going to cost you something. So it's not easy. Forgiveness is also, it isn't self-protective. You forgive, you're still vulnerable.
That's a tough one.
You could be hurt again.
That's a tough one.
It doesn't protect you from getting hurt again. By the way, neither does your unforgiveness.
Yeah.
People who erect walls and live behind walls, they're not working, are they? You're still getting hurt.
Yeah.
The last one is this. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Reconciliation is also an incredible call of God. But reconciliation requires the participation of two people. An injured person can forgive an offender without reconciliation. So even if there is reconciliation, by the way, some things can never be the same again. Listen, I had a friend many years ago who, it was rough, hurt my feelings significantly, was a time in my life I lost my bearings and significantly wounded. And after a period of time, there was a situation that brought us together again, and our lives were interacting together again. And I'll never forget what this amazing person said to me after we had kind of gone through the awfulness and gotten, you know, sort of rekindled a bit and we're interacting again. She looked at me one day and she said, hey, thank you for forgiving me. And I know that what I did caused me to lose access to the deep parts of your heart that I had before. But thank you for letting me back in your life anyhow. And for what I get now. She knew there was a consequence that something had changed that would be fundamentally different. As much as we would enjoy warmth and connection again, it would never be like it was. She knew. Isn't that amazing? So in terms of reconciliation, right? It's important to realize it takes two parties. So I want to be clear at this point for those of you who might have little alarms going off. I'm with you. I know you. I'm here. I'm with you. This message today is not about boundaries. It's not about abuse. It's not about codependence. It is meant to be a singular focus on the power and potency of the forgiveness of God in our own lives and the lives of the people in the world around us. Got it? You hear me on that? So forgiveness does not mean closing our eyes to those who will continue to harm us or others. It doesn't mean we want to spend time with them, but it does mean that we release the bitterness in our hearts concerning what they've done. Okay? So let's talk about what forgiveness is for a minute. Forgiveness is a decision. It's an act of the will. It's an act of obedience, even. It's not feelings-based decision. Listen, before April 27th, 1991, two people decided to do something on a day, decided to get married. We made that decision ahead of time. And when it came to that day, we went forward with that commitment and that decision, regardless of how either one of us felt. Right, Mike?
Yes, we did it.
One of us, right, Mike?
Yeah, one of us.
Might have had other feelings on that day.
I had a lot of feelings on that day.
His best man, when he went out to get his tux,
I said, I'm going to go get my tux on, and Dave looks at me and goes, I'm going with you. He was worried I was going to get in the car and drive away.
We had made the decision ahead of time. And actually, if God's moving in your heart today about someone you need to release back to him, you might want to do the same thing you do after you make a big decision like getting married, which is wear something that reminds you, oh, that's right, I've done that. You know what I mean? I know people who have gotten tattoos after forgiving someone. I know people who now wear a piece of jewelry to remind them every day, I forgave her. Mm-hmm. I gave them back to God. God's got them. Right? There's some physical reminder. Put a picture in your room that's less like, yes. I knew a woman whose husband had committed serious infidelity, and she put a huge picture in her living room to just that she would look at every minute of every day that she was in that house, which is, I forgave him.
Yeah.
I have given him to the Lord. Yeah. Forgiveness is, here it is, giving up the right you have to even the score. It is making the decision, the choice that you have, to give up the right you have to hold something over someone's head. Choosing to keep no record of wrongs is what 1 Corinthians 13, the love passage, says. Love is. R.T. Kendall, this author, says, true forgivers destroy the record they might have used to vindicate themselves. Isn't that good? And even though what someone does to you may be wrong, wrong, doing wrong never justifies wrong, okay? It's giving up the right you have to hold it over their head, to even the score, to get back at them. You have that right. It's laying that down. Forgiveness is, in the same way, here's the next aspect, releasing justice and consequences to God. Being fully aware of what someone has done and giving them to the Lord. It's releasing someone back to God because he's trustworthy and he's asking you to. You don't need to wait for the other person to ask you to. How often are they over there, skip to Malou, just fine, and you're over here, in the unforgiveness, right? You are doing it because God says, listen, this is my best life for you. I promise you can trust me. Do you trust me? I have them. I know every detail of that situation, and I know everything it's done to you, and I know everything it's cost you. I've got it. Will you trust me? It is not good for you to carry it. It's too much for you to carry it. Will you give it to me? God knows if we live in unforgiveness, it will eat away at our soul and our bodies. Forgiveness is, here's another, an ongoing event between you and God. It's not a one-time thing. We do make a decision that that's where we're going, and we release them back to God, and we have to remind ourselves of that decision regularly, right? You often can't just forgive and move on. Some of us pay for the consequences of someone's behavior for a lifetime. Forgiveness is, in many cases, a lifetime effort. Forgiveness, here's the next, is without limits. We're humans. If you've been paying attention, honestly, your feelings have gotten hurt, or you've been offended or in some way in the last 24 hours. Small, little. And then some of you in this room are doing a great job of staying in this room even. Because we're talking about forgiving an abuser. We're talking about forgiving someone who enacted such hurt on you that a part of you may have died, or at least you feel like it. And that the pain of being alone with that is overwhelming. And so to even hear the Lord moving and calling you to be forgiving, might be having anxiety, might be triggered, honestly, for those of you that know what that is. You're doing a great job of being in this room. It's without limits, it's small, and it's the most egregious. And the Lord sees you, Elroy. Forgiveness is also refusing to be passive aggressive, which is really fun, by the way, but anyhow. Refusing to be passive aggressive and punishing. Instead, showing mercy. You know what mercy is? You don't get what you deserve. We are being given mercy right this very moment. Mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. So, are you in the space of understanding this morning? If you've been hurt, forgiveness is your best answer. Remembering the overwhelming love of God and His pardoning grace every day of our lives helps us release wrongs done to us and to be set free from the satanic trap of bitterness that seeks to wreak havoc on our bodies, relationships, and ultimately our society. Jesus didn't forgive, you know, just certain people, like the ones who are repentant or the ones who, you know, kind of followed him around or were interested in him. Nope. In Luke 23, 34, in the midst of the agony of the crucifixion, what do we see him doing? He said, "Father, forgive them." As they were killing him. I can barely stay in the room when Mike's hurting my feelings, which just only happened once, but.
Yeah. Once.
Once.
It's perpetual.
We can forgive and love others, not because it's easy, but because Jesus gives us the power to do so. But remember, as we've said, as we forgive, it's not just for the other person's sake, but it's for our own sake too. As hard as it is to forgive our enemies and to love them, the alternative to hold on to that hate and let it coalesce into permanent bitterness and unrelenting anger is much worse. So forgiveness is a lifestyle that leads to human flourishing, the best for you and me. And people like you, who are brave enough to live out this most challenging of Christian tenets, you are the ones who are changing the world. People like you who are willing to hear and say yes to forgiveness and forgiving others, God is using you to change the world. So it's always good to respond to the Lord. You know, make a move when he's moved in you. So you guys mind doing something that is kind of counter to what we normally say? Do you mind pulling out your phones? And as you pull out your phone, there's a couple of quotes that you might want to consider. They'll be on the screen. But here's one. Jesus wants us to move forward past the offense into a lifestyle of forgiveness. Here's another that you might see, have seen or know. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover the prisoner is you. Here's one. An apology begins the first day of the rest of your life. I like this one. Forgiveness is an inside job. It's actually more about you and the Lord than you and that person most of the time. Here's one. Forgiveness is a choice that turns survival into victorious living. And as we said, it's a lifestyle. It's a healing thing. So, what is God moving in you today? We are going to put a number on the screen that is a dedicated number that we purchased just for this, in terms of your anonymity will be protected, no one will recognize your number, and I will be the only person that reads them. This is between you and the Lord. So if you're going to mention a person's name, just put an initial. But it's just always good to move in response to God's kindness. So the number that's on the screen, why don't you just text what you're going to do in response to the message today? You're going to write a letter of forgiveness? Are you going to start praying for someone who's wronged you? Are you going to stop being cold and withholding to that coworker? Are you going to start memorizing scripture that'll help you stay in the place of forgiveness towards someone who's abused you, someone who's wronged you. So why don't you do that right now? Here's the number on the screen. And while that you're doing that, you're also going to get a reminder to take with you. We like to do this every time we, you know, speak in the relationship series. So today is a sticker, and it's essentially how we decided to sum up 1 Corinthians 13:5, which is love keeps no record of wrongs. Nothing equals everything. Nothing. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So grab your sticker, go ahead and take a minute to just text how God's moving in you. So let's just give each other a minute to do that while you get your sticker. 1 Corinthians 13:5. What's he asking? And you can text anything to that number. I'm going to text my old friend. I'm going to write a letter of all my feelings of hatred and offense, and then I'm going to burn it. What are you going to do? I'm going to work hard to see that person who's so irritating to me through your eyes, Jesus. So God, as these amazing saints of yours, children of yours, are listening for your voice and what step you will enable them to do, that your pleasure over them, I pray they would sense it even now. Your heart. It says, I see you, child. I love you. I am with you. You can do this in me. I will do more than you can ask or imagine in this space. Thank you, Lord, for such a sacred opportunity, such a life-changing invitation, such a holy moment where we know you've spoken and you moved in your great, great love. So I pray you'd seal everything you've wanted to do, even now, Jesus, in your name.
Amen.